Been a blessing to be here this morning. I've enjoyed the singing, the songs of the incarnation and birth of Christ. And I had to think of the devotional. David read that Psalm chapter 33, and it talked about the same one. It talked about the one that spake and it was made. And that's the Creator. That's the one that we were singing about, the one that came as a baby, and gave his life, lived life here on this earth, so he could say that he was in all points tempted like as we are. He knows what we go through. He knows the struggles we face, and he was willing to give his life so that we can have life. So what a blessing that is. We're blessed this morning. I have my wife's Uncle Benny, Robert's father-in-law's little brother. Just a little story that I heard one time about them, and they can tell you if it's true later or not, but Robert left the house one evening, and he was pretty determined to leave Benny behind, and so he managed to get to the car and thought he had things all in place, and when he got too close to the place he was going to turn back, he saw somebody pop up in the back seat, and that was his little brother Benny. So I don't know if that's, I'm not sure what all happened after that, but you can ask them. So another announcement here I'll make before I go. This Bruce had sent me this and asked to announce it here. He said, "We, Robert Nelson and Amanda Mishler, with the blessing of our parents, Frank and Celestia Nelson, and Bruce and Regina Mishler, invite you to witness our marriage vows Friday, February the 7th, 2020, at 9:30 in the morning at Camp, Punta Gorda, Belize." So you're all invited there. So if you want to get a trip and get to some warm weather in February, there's your opportunity. So look, wish them the Lord's blessings. This morning is another one of those special mornings. We have a little one here. And that's William and Janae's, Liam. And it's a privilege to, again, be able to share an occasion like this. And this is a first in the sense that William and Janae's wedding was the first wedding I officiated at. And it's you can rest assured that I spent more time rehearsing vows and trying to get the order of my service and that order of that service in my head than in any other wedding since. But so it's a... I just thought about that this morning. It's a little side note, but I had to think of thinking about a home. I had to think of Joshua. When you think of Joshua, what comes to your mind? What's the first thing you think about?
That's for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Okay. Anything else?
He was sinful.
Okay. Got me on that one. Think of a man. Another thought that came to me was that him and when the 12 spies went in, Joshua and Caleb were firmly grounded. They didn't let peer pressure, the 10 others, drag them down. And as you think of Joshua, you think of a rock or just somebody that was there, somebody that was stood for what was right. And in Joshua chapter 24:15, he quoted that verse that Robert quoted there. He said, "As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord." I'd like to think about that just a little bit this morning. And you know, he didn't get there. He was almost 110 years old. He died shortly thereafter. And in that very same chapter, so I don't know how much time evolved there. But he said that statement he made was something that was real in his life. It wasn't something that his life backed it up. And as I think of this morning of a family starting and the first little one, you know, baby number 4 or 6 is just as precious as that first one. But there's something different about that first baby. I think it's the change that comes with the responsibility, the reality. You know, you've waited so long. And it's the first one. There's so many new things. Is everything all right? There's those tense times when the heartbeat grows faint. You feel so helpless. But you know, God is there. And we praise the Lord for his goodness, for the miracle of birth. The firstborn draws you closer in a way, draws a couple closer in a way that you haven't experienced before. You know, holding that life that has been entrusted to you to nurture physically, spiritually. Life takes on a different perspective, a deeper meaning. You have an immortal life there in your hands. There's something new to live for. Something that will fill all your life and take everything that you have. We talk about training children. But I believe, first of all, they train us. They teach us many lessons. It's been said, children are God's apostles, day by day, sent forth to preach of love, of hope, of peace. You know, without children, life would be cold and dreary. Sometimes the noise may make us weary, but after a busy day, and even when it's been particularly trying, pushing limits, you know, when you tuck them in, they lie there sleeping, everything just melts. They're such little angels. You know, most children break into our undisturbed nights. You know, no longer do you decide exactly when you go to bed, or when you get up, or how often you get up during the night. And I think that's the time that you realize that the gratitude in your heart rises for what your parents sacrificed for you, for how much they gave you. You know, what a debt I owe. Children, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, there's nothing more important to pass on. And we talked about this some in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It was an interesting discussion. How do we balance out our time? How do we know that we're keeping first things first, that we're doing the things that are really important? By teaching, training, by example. You know, it's not the mother's job. Although she definitely fills a role that is unique. You know, there is nothing that should be of greater importance to the father than his family. There's no business, no farm, no work of any kind that should take priority over the family. Well, these young, tender lives, you know, rich with so many possibilities of joy, of beauty, of power, and the work of the kingdom can be lost if neglected. You know, we are responsible for their shaping, their training, and the upbuilding of their character. And that's what we think of when we think of making a home where God is first. You know, the responsibility chiefly rests on the parents. You know, the church is here to help. The church is here to support. But they are the builders. From them, it's from the parents, it receives its they receive the character for right or wrong. You know, if it's going to be a happy home, the parents must be the author of that happiness. Otherwise, the blame rests on them. That responsibility rests on both parents. And as fathers, you share the burden. Spend time with your families. There's nothing more important. You know, if you think of it, you have such a small slot of time. It goes so fast. No success in any department of the world's work can possibly atone for failure in meeting the needs of your family. So I'd just encourage us this morning to let's make Joshua's statement more than a motto in our homes. Let's make it real in our lives. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer.